James Vara, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So you haven't started the job yet. You'll start sometime in early April. What will be your top priority when you start your job?
So the top priority is this, is coalescing the group of stakeholders in treatment, prevention, education, enforcement, and treatment, and bring them all together and having real conversations about where we are and where we're going.
You spent a lot of time as a prosecutor. As of today, you're still a prosecutor. You're sort of winding down your old job. It sort of reminds me of the old saying that to a man with a hammer, everything looks like a nail. I don't know if this applies to you. I'd like you to talk to that a little bit. If your hammer for so many years has been prosecution, is the drug problem in this state a nail?
It isn't, and I want to just really briefly go about my other experiences. While I've been a prosecutor, I also have been part of the governor's commission and been a co-chair of the opiate task force, which has looked at all of these issues. So I'm beyond being a prosecutor on this. I have other avenues which I've seen this problem impact the state.
Your predecessor, Jack Wozniak, released a 22-point plan, many things that he thought needed to be done to address the problem of drug addiction in New Hampshire. Which of those 22 do you see yourself continuing?
So I've looked at the 22-point plan. It's important to look at what has already been accomplished, what has not been accomplished, and looking at what partially has been accomplished. But I think the first mission really is bringing all the stakeholders together, because there's things going on beyond those 22-point plans that have been going on that the stakeholders have been focusing on, that I really, it's important to bring them together and have that conversation, that deep conversation about where we're going.
What things beyond those 22 points?
Well, most importantly, you see what's been happening in the state, just is looking at what other stakeholders have been doing. So we have seen, importantly, what enforcement has been doing. We see what recovery has been doing, and that postdates, of course, and what treatment has been doing and education has been doing. What is not out there is what these things that they're doing, and they're not publicized to the point of what all of us understand them.
New Hampshire Hope for Recovery was one of those stakeholders, and they, when Jack Wozniak left the position, they expressed hope publicly for sort of, rather than a drug czar, sort of like a recovery czar. Can you speak a little bit about what you'll do in terms of helping the state sort of recover, helping people who are addicted recover from their addiction?
Sure. Again, there certainly is concern that I've been a prosecutor for this period of time, but it's important to note I'm beyond a prosecutor. I am resident of this state. I have a child in this state and a wife, and it's important to recognize that beyond being a prosecutor, these things are important to me, and recovery certainly is a component in that, as much as treatment is a component, as well as education and prevention. Forgetting about any of those facets is detrimental to the mission at large.
What about the idea of addicts dropping off illegal drugs, heroin, et cetera, at police stations and not facing any kind of a legal penalty, similar to what's going on in Gloucester, Massachusetts? Would you support something like that here in New Hampshire?
Again, I think it's important that we have the comprehensive conversation with enforcement as well, and talk about where the legislation is, what that bill currently states, and how that bill can be, if that bill is appropriate, if that bill is not appropriate, and find the appropriate avenue and vehicle if that's what determined is best option.
A police officer testified and said that this would actually provide defense for people who actually aren't trying to drop off their drugs and come clean. As a prosecutor, you may have an opinion on this. I mean, you've seen all sorts of arguments in court from people who have done illegal drugs. Is this something that you think is true, that this does provide a defense for people who use drugs?
Sure. So the bill, as it's currently constituted, I'm aware of it in my current capacity. What the bill does allow for trace amounts or residual amounts of controlled drugs. If someone were to bring that in the police department, that is still on the books as a law that someone could be prosecuted and ultimately convicted. It's important, though, it was stated during the talk about that, what other states have done, and Vermont has done things very differently currently than what this bill does. And what it does do in Vermont, it allows for certain take-back days for allowing people to bring in the needles during that period of time.
Medicaid just passed the Senate. The governor has indicated that she would support Medicaid expansion for another 2 years. How important, in your view, is Medicaid toward addressing the state's opiate epidemic?
I think it's important in looking at available resources. If those resources come from expansion, that's fine. If resources come from other avenues like grants to allow people to obtain treatment, allow people to obtain recovery and prevention, and of course allowing other avenues of enforcement and education, any of which way those dollars come in to help the state, it's important.
Your predecessor, Jack Wozniak, was criticized for his leadership skills, rightly or wrongly. How do you plan to lead and stay above the political fray?
This is about people dying. people who need significant treatment. This isn't politically based. And I think it's important to note joint legislation, where both parties, bipartisan, came together, talked about legislation that was appropriate, and passed legislation in an expedited manner, which is unprecedented for what we've seen in this state.
James Vera, thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.